Krishna Book, Canto 13, Dwaraka, Chapter 64, Scene 1, King Nriga. Once, the family members of Lord Krishna, such as Samba, Prajumna, Charu, Banu, and Gada, all princes of the Yadu dynasty, went for a long picnic in the forest near Dwaraka. And in the course of their excursion, all of them became thirsty, and so they began to try to find out where water was available in the forest. When they approached a well, they found that there was no water in it, but on the contrary, within the well was a wonderful living entity. It was a large lizard, and all of them became astonished to see such a wonderful animal. They could understand that the animal was trapped and could not escape by its own effort, and so out of compassion, they tried to take the large lizard out of the well. Unfortunately, they could not get the lizard out, even though they tried to do so in many ways. So, when the princes returned home, their story was narrated before Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the friend of all living entities, and therefore, after hearing the appeal from his sons, Krishna personally went to the well and easily got the great lizard out, simply by extending his left hand. Immediately upon being touched by the hand of Lord Krishna, that great lizard gave up its former shape and appeared as a beautiful demigod, an inhabitant of the heavenly planets. His bodily complexion glittered like molten gold. He was decorated with fine garments, and he wore costly ornaments around his neck. How the demigod had been obliged to accept the body of a lizard was not a secret to Lord Krishna, but still, for others' information, Lord Krishna inquired, "My dear fortunate demigod, now I see that your body is so beautiful and lustrous. Who are you? We can guess that you are one of the best of demigods in the heavenly planets. All good fortune to you. I think that you are not meant to be in this situation. So it must be due to the results of your past activities that you have been put into the species of lizard life. Still, I want to hear from you how you were put into this position. If you think that you can disclose this secret, then please tell us your identity." Actually, this large lizard was King Nriga, and when he was questioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Nriga immediately bowed down before Lord Krishna, touching to the ground the helmet on his head, which was as dazzling as sunshine. In this way, King Nriga first of all offered his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, and then said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I am the son of King Ikshvaku, and I am King Nriga. If you have ever taken account of all charitably disposed men, then I am sure you must have heard of my name. My Lord, you are the witness. You are aware of every bit of work done by the living entities, whether past, present, or future. So nothing can be hidden from your eternal cognizance. Still, you have ordered me to explain my history, and I shall therefore narrate the full story." King Nriga then proceeded to narrate the history of his degradation, which was caused by his karmakanda activities. He was very charitably disposed and had given away so many cows that he said the number was equal to the amount of dust on the earth, or the stars in the sky and the rainfall. According to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, a man who is charitably disposed is commanded to give cows to brahmanas. From the statement of King Nriga, it appears that he followed this principle earnestly. However, as a result of a slight discrepancy in his action, King Nriga was forced to take birth as a lizard. Therefore, it is recommended by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Yat Karoshi Yadashnasi, Yaj Juhoshi Dadasi Yat, Yat Tapasyasi Kaunteya, Tat Karushva Mad Arpanam. One who is charitably disposed and who desires to derive the benefit of his or her charity should offer one's gifts to please Krishna. To give in charity means to perform pious activities. As a result of pious activities, one may be elevated to the higher planetary systems. But promotion to the heavenly planets is no guarantee that one will never fall down. Rather, from the example of King Nriga, it is definitely proved that fruitive activities, even if they are very pious, cannot give us eternal blissful life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yajna Arthat Karma Nonyatra, Loko Yang Karma Vandanaha, Tad Artham Karma Kaunteya, Mukta Sangha Samachara. The result of work, either pious or impious, is sure to bind one unless it is discharged as yajna on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. King Nriga continued to say that the cows given in charity were not ordinary cows. Each one was very young and had given birth to only one calf. They were full of milk, very peaceful and healthy. All the cows were purchased with money that had been earned legally. Furthermore, their horns were gold-plated, their hoofs were bedecked with silver plates, and they were covered with silken wrappers which were embroidered with pearls and necklaces. King Nriga stated that these valuably decorated cows were not given to any worthless person, but were distributed to first-class brahmanas, whom he had also decorated with nice garments and gold ornaments. The brahmanas were well qualified. None of them were rich, and their family members were always in want for the necessities of life. For a real brahmana never hoards money for a luxurious life like the kshatriyas or the vaishyas. But a brahmana always keeps himself in a poverty-stricken condition, knowing that money diverts the mind to materialistic ways of life. To live in this way is the vow of a qualified brahmana, and all of these brahmanas were well situated in that exalted vow. They were well learned in Vedic knowledge. They executed their required austerities and penances and were liberal, meeting the standard of qualified brahmanas. They were equally friendly to everyone, and above all, they were young and quite fit to act as qualified brahmanas. So besides the cows, the brahmanas were also given land, gold, houses, horses, and elephants. And those who were not married were given wives, maidservants, grains, silver, utensils, garments, jewels, household furniture, chariots, etc. This charity was nicely performed as a sacrifice according to the Vedic rituals. King Nriga also stated that not only had he bestowed gifts on the brahmanas, but he had performed other pious activities, such as digging a well, planting trees on the roadside, and installing ponds on the highways. My dear Lord Krishna, In spite of all this, unfortunately, one of the Brahmana's cows chanced to enter amongst my other cows, and not knowing this, I again gave it in charity to another Brahmana. As the cow was being taken away by the Brahmana, its former master claimed it as his own, stating, "This cow was formerly given to me. So how is it that you are taking it away?" Thus, there was arguing and fighting between the two Brahmanas. And then they came before me and charged that I had taken back a cow that I had previously given in charity. Because to give something to someone and then take it away is considered a great sin, especially in dealing with a Brahmana. So when both the Brahmanas charged the king with the same complaint, King Nariga was simply puzzled as to how it had happened. Thereafter, with great humility, King Nariga offered each of them 100,000 cows in exchange for the one cow that was causing the fight between them. King Nariga prayed to the Brahmanas that he was their servant and that there had been some mistake. Thus, in order to rectify it, King Nariga prayed that the Brahmanas would be very kind upon him and accept his offer in exchange for the one cow. The king fervently appealed to the Brahmanas not to cause his downfall into hell because of this mistake. The property of a Brahmana is called Brahmasva, and according to the law of Manu, it cannot be acquired even by the government. So both Brahmanas insisted that the cow was theirs and could not be taken back under any condition. Neither of them agreed to exchange it for 100,000 cows. Thus, disagreeing with the proposal of King Nariga, both Brahmanas left the place in anger, thinking that their lawful position had been usurped. After this incident, when the time came for King Nariga to give up his body, he was taken before Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Yamaraj asked King Nariga whether he wanted to first enjoy the results of his pious activities or first suffer the results of his impious activities. Yamaraj also hinted that since the king had executed so many pious activities and charities, the limit of King Nariga's enjoyment would be unknown to him. There was practically no end to the king's material happiness. But in spite of this hint, King Nariga was bewildered, and so he decided to first suffer the results of his impious activities and then accept the results of his pious activities. Therefore, Yamaraj immediately turned him into a lizard. King Nariga remained in the well as a big lizard for a very long time. But, my lord, in spite of being put into that degraded condition of life, I simply thought of you, and so my memory was never vanquished. It appears from these statements of King Nariga that persons who follow the principles of fruitive activities and who derive some material benefits are not very intelligent. Being given the choice by the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, King Nariga could have first accepted the results of his pious activities. But King Nariga thought it would be better to first receive the effects of his impious activities and then enjoy the effects of his pious activities without disturbance. On the whole, King Nariga had not developed Krishna consciousness, for the Krishna conscious person develops love of God, love of Krishna, not love for pious or impious activities. Therefore, he or she is not subjected to the result of such action. As it is stated in the Brahma Sanhita, Yastvindra Gopam Atavendra Ahotsva Karma, Bandhanu Rupa Phala Bhajanam Atanoti, Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. A devotee, by the grace of Lord Krishna, does not become subject to the resultant reactions of fruitive activities. Somehow or other, as a result of his pious activities, King Nriga had aspired to see Lord Krishna. My dear Lord, I had a great desire that someday I might be able to see you personally. I think that my tendency to perform ritualistic and charitable activities, combined with this great desire to see you personally, has enabled me to retain the memory of who I was in my former life, even though I became a lizard. Such a person who remembers his or her past life is called Jati Smara. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the super soul seated in everyone's heart. There are many great mystic yogis who have eyes to see you through the Vedas and Upanishads. In order to achieve the elevated position of being equal in quality with you, they always meditate on you within their hearts. Although such exalted saintly persons may see you constantly within their hearts, still they cannot see you eye to eye. Therefore, I am very much surprised that I am able to see you personally. I know that I was engaged in so many activities, especially as a king. Although I was in the midst of luxury and opulence and was subjected to so much of the happiness and misery of material existence, I am so fortunate to be seeing you personally. As far as I know, when one becomes liberated from material existence, he or she can see you in this way. When King Nriga elected to receive the results of his impious activities, he was given the body of a lizard because of the mistake in his pious activities. Thus, King Nriga could not be directly converted to a higher status of life like a great demigod. However, along with his pious activities, he thought of Krishna, and so he was quickly released from the body of a lizard and given the body of a demigod. By worshipping the Supreme Lord, those who desire material opulences are given the bodies of powerful demigods. Sometimes these demigods can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead eye to eye, but they still are not eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the Vaikuntha planets. However, if the demigods continue to become devotees of Lord Krishna, then the next chance they get, they will enter the Vaikuntha planets. And so, having attained the body of a demigod, King Nriga, continuing to remember everything, then said, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord, and you are worshipped by all demigods. You are not one of the living entities, but you are the Supreme Person, Purushottama. You are the source of all happiness to all living entities. Therefore, you are known as Govinda. You are the Lord of those living entities who have accepted a material body and those also who have not yet accepted a material body. Among living entities who have not accepted a material body are those who are hovering in the material world as evil spirits or living in a ghostly atmosphere. However, those who live in the spiritual kingdom, the Vaikuntha Lokas, have bodies that are not made of material elements. But you, my Lord, are infallible. You are the supreme, the purest of all living entities. You are living in everyone's heart. You are the shelter of all living entities, Narayana. Being seated in the heart of all living entities, you are the supreme director of everyone's sensual activities, and therefore you are called Hrishikesha. Oh, my dear Supreme Lord Krishna, because you have given me this body of a demigod, I will have to go to some heavenly planet. So I am taking this opportunity to beg for your mercy, that I may have the benediction of never forgetting your lotus feet, no matter to which form of life or which planet I may be transferred. You are all-pervading, present everywhere as cause and effect. You are the cause of all causes, and your potency and power are unlimited. You are the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme Brahman. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. My dear Lord Krishna, your body is full of transcendental bliss and knowledge, and you are eternal. You are the master of all mystic powers, therefore you are known as Yogeshwara. So kindly accept me as insignificant dust at your lotus feet. Before entering the heavenly planets, King Nriga circumambulated Lord Krishna. He touched his helmet to the lotus feet of Krishna, bowing down before him. Seeing the airplane from the heavenly planets present before him, King Nriga was given permission by Lord Krishna to board it. After the departure of King Nriga, Lord Krishna expressed his appreciation for the king's devotion to the Brahmanas, as well as his charitable disposition and performance of Vedic rituals. It is recommended, therefore, that if one cannot directly become a devotee of Lord Krishna, one should follow the Vedic principles of life. This will enable him or her one day to see Lord Krishna by being promoted either directly to the spiritual kingdom or indirectly to the heavenly kingdom, where one has hope of being transferred to the spiritual planets. At this time, Lord Krishna was present among his relatives who were members of the Kshatriya class. In order to teach them through the exemplary character of King Nriga, Krishna said, "Even though a Kshatriya king may be as powerful as fire, it is not possible for him to usurp the property of a Brahmana and utilize it for his own purpose. If this is so, then how can ordinary kings who falsely think of themselves as the most powerful beings within the material world usurp a Brahmana's property? I do not think that taking poison is as dangerous as taking the property of a Brahmana. For ordinary poison, there is treatment. One can be relieved from its effects. But if one drinks the poison of taking the property of a Brahmana, there is no remedy for that mistake." The perfect example was King Nriga. He was very powerful and very pious. But due to the small mistake of unknowingly usurping a Brahmana's cow, King Nariga was condemned to the abominable life of a lizard. Ordinary poison affects only those who drink it, and ordinary fire can be extinguished simply by pouring water on it. But the Arani fire ignited by the spiritual potency of a Brahmana can burn to ashes the whole family of a person who provokes such a Brahmana. Formerly, Brahmanas used to ignite the fire of sacrifice, not with matches or any external fire, but with their powerful mantras called Arani. If someone even touches the property of a Brahmana, one is ruined for 3 generations. However, if the property of a Brahmana is forcibly taken away, the taker's family for 10 generations before him and 10 generations after will be subject to ruination. On the other hand, if someone becomes a Vaishnava or devotee of Lord Krishna, then 10 generations of one's family before his birth and 10 generations after will all become liberated. But if some foolish king, puffed up by his wealth, prestige and power, wants to usurp a Brahmana's property, it should be understood that such a king is clearing his path to hell. He does not know how much he has to suffer for such unwise actions. If someone takes away the property of a very liberal Brahmana who is encumbered by a large dependent family, then such a usurper is put into the hell known as Kumbhipaka. Not only is one put into this hell, but one's family members also have to accept such a miserable condition of life. A person who takes away property which has either been awarded to a Brahmana or given away by him is condemned to live for at least 60,000 years as miserably as an insect in stool. My boys and relatives, all of you present here, I therefore instruct you, do not, even by mistake, take the possession of a Brahmana and thereby pollute your whole family. If someone even wishes to possess such property, let alone attempts to take it away by force, the duration of one's life will be reduced. One will be defeated by one's enemies, and after being bereft of one's royal position, when one gives up the body, one will become a serpent. For the serpent simply gives trouble to all other living entities. My dear boys and relatives, I therefore advise you that even if a Brahmana becomes angry with you and calls you by ill names or cuts you, still, you should not retaliate. On the contrary, you should smile, tolerate him, and offer your respects to the Brahmana. You know very well that even I myself offer obeisances to the Brahmanas with great respect 3 times daily. You should therefore follow my instruction and example. And I shall not forgive anyone who does not follow them, and I shall punish him. So you should learn from the example of King Nariga that even if someone unknowingly usurps the property of a Brahmana, one is put into a miserable condition of life. Thus, Lord Krishna, who is always engaged in purifying the conditioned living entities, gave instruction not only to his family members and the inhabitants of Dwaraka, but to all the members of human society. After this, Lord Krishna entered his palace. Thus ends Chapter 64, Scene 1, King Nriga. All glories to Krishna Book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Radhika Madhavayora Pada Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Nam Nam Pratikshana Svadana Lolupasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam The spiritual master is always eager to hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Radhika and Madhava, as well as their qualities, names, and forms. The spiritual master aspires to relish these at every moment. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The following are notes on this section from the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Srila Sridhar Swami states that the story of King Nriga narrated in this chapter is meant to give sober instructions to all proud kings. Through this incident, Lord Krishna also gave serious lessons to the members of his own family who had become proud of their opulences. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that because in this chapter, the Yadu boys, even Sri Pradyumna, are described as quite young, this must be an early pastime. Next, Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the term Dvija Mukhya, or first-class Brahmana, indicates a Brahmana who has stopped accepting charity and would thus refuse to accept even 100,000 cows in exchange for the cow that had been improperly given away. According to the Acharyas, the king's performance of fruitive activities had previously been flawless. But now, an inadvertent discrepancy had arisen, and so when the king died, the Yamadutas took King Nriga to the abode of Yamaraj, which is called Sanyamani. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that since King Nriga openly declared that he had two outstanding qualities, namely devotion to Brahmanas and generosity, it is clear that he possessed these qualities only partially, since someone who was truly pure would not boast about it. It is also clear that King Nriga considered such piety to be a separate goal, desirable for its own sake. Thus, he did not fully appreciate pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Krishna had not been the only goal of Nriga's life, as Krishna was for Ambarish Maharaj, even in his stage of regulative practice. Nor do we find that King Nriga overcame obstacles like those Ambarish did when Durvasa Muni became angry at him. Still, we can conclude that since Nriga was able to see Krishna for some reason or another, he must have had the good quality of sincerely desiring the Lord's association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers the following commentary. He says that when Nriga mentioned one who hankered to have Krishna's audience, he was referring to an incident concerning a great devotee King Nriga had once met. This devotee was very eager to acquire a temple for a most beautiful deity of the Supreme Lord, and this devotee also wanted copies of such scriptures as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Being very generous, Nriga arranged for these things, and the devotee was so satisfied that he blessed the king, saying, "My dear King Nriga, may you have the audience of the Supreme Lord." And from that time on, Nriga desired to see Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti also comments as follows. King Nriga's faith, emboldened upon receiving Krishna's mercy and thus attaining the status of servitude, he properly glorified Krishna by chanting Krishna's names and then asked Krishna permission to leave. The spirit of King Nriga's prayer is as follows. Krishna, you are Deva Deva, the God, even of the gods, and you are Jagannath, master of the universe. So please, be my master. O Govinda, please make me your property with the same merciful glance you use to enchant the cows. You can do this because you are Purushottama, the supreme form of Godhead. O Narayana, since you are the foundation of all living entities, please be my support, even though I am a bad living entity. O Hrishikesha, please make my senses your own. O Punyashloka, now you have become famous as the deliverer of Nriga. O Achyuta, please never be lost to my mind. O Avyaya, you will never diminish in my mind. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that King Nriga offers obeisances to Pada Brahman, that is to say, the Absolute Truth, who is unchanged in spite of performing activities. Since ancient times, Western philosophers have puzzled over the question of how God can be unchanging and yet perform activities. Sridhar Swami states that this doubt is answered herein by the term Ananta Shaktaye, which describes the Lord as being the possessor of unlimited potency. Thus, through Krishna's infinite potencies, he can perform innumerable activities without changing his essential nature. King Nriga offered his obeisances to Krishna, the possessor of the form of eternal bliss and the supreme goal of life. This holy name of Krishna is analyzed in a verse from the Mahabharata, Krishir Bhu Vachaka Shabdo Nascha Nivritti Vachaka Tayor Aikyang Param Brahma Krishna Iti Abhidiyate. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and the word Na means spiritual pleasure. So when the verb Krish is added to the word Na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the Absolute Truth. King Nriga offered his prayers as he was about to leave the personal association of the Supreme Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti compares the fire ignited by stealing a Brahmana's property, to the fire that blazes within the cavity of an old tree. Such a fire cannot be put out even with the water of numerous rainfalls. Rather, it burns the whole tree from within, all the way down to its roots in the ground. So similarly, the fire ignited by stealing the property of a Brahmana is most deadly and should be avoided at all costs. Finally, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word Tri Purusha refers to oneself, one's sons, and one's grandsons. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.